Hello, and welcome to Parhesia Hour. I will be your host, Kern Haug.
Thank you.
All right. Parhesia Hour will be a every other week show, 10 a.m. on Kaechung, 16:30 a.m. The next episode airing April 8th. This music in the background will more or less be the theme music of the program, as I like it and think it fits the theme. The theme being an ongoing investigation that I'd like to have collective participation in. I suppose I could start with the name of the show being the beginning of the investigation. I'm thinking each show, why not have a different reason why it's called Parhesia Hour? It's a topic I've yet to grow tired of thinking about and explaining. When I came across the word a couple years ago, it excited me. And I thought, wow, there's a lot of potential here. Found some information on it, which I put on the Tumblr for the show, which is parhesiahour.kaechungradio.tumblr.com. I think this episode is going to be, as my friend phrased it, in something, a definitional ceremony, defining what's happening on the show and what I'm interested in getting into and what I hope to receive from you, the listener, if you are there. I think the aspect of Parhesia that I want to first lay down as particularly of interest to me is, well, first, it's like an old Greek word, and it's sort of a, there's a lot of ways to define it, but the thing I'm most interested in right now is that it's to speak without rhetorical device. That is sort of a, not with the hopes of persuading or convincing so much, but rather speaking plainly what you believe to be true. There's this other aspect of, like, even if it's at personal risk to yourself, we can get into that later, because that brings in this whole aspect of, is it noble to engage in Parhesia? I think there's a word, Parhesiazoma, a variation on Parhesia. Parhesiastes is the one engaging in Parhesia. So I suppose I am a Parhesiastes looking for other Parhesiastes to participate in this investigation. What is this investigation? Parhesia is the method of investigation that I'm interested in, and the topic is music to face yourself to. It's a thing I've been thinking about for a while, but only recently gave that phrase to it, but I think it's a useful phrase. I think it can sort of combine a number of ideas into a single investigation that I hope others are interested in learning more about. I'm interested in learning more about it. So I thought I'd begin the show, well, I began it with this music and then went into a Harry Pussy track, Mandolin, my favorite. There are various versions of that track, and I particularly like that one. I mean, I'll play it again another time and just, like, talk about it. For now, you heard it. I also saw it as somewhat of a filter slash bait. If this is exciting to you, stay tuned. This is not exciting to you. You know, let's go from there. So I wanted to begin with someone who has an interesting story of facing himself. The musician and autodidact scholar Anthony Braxton. I brought in a copy of his For Alto, his, as far as I know, first solo recording. It's just him on an alto saxophone. And the story that he tells so well, and I've heard him tell it in various venues, is about when he's young, playing in the AACM, you know, in Chicago in the 60s. he booked himself a show that was, he gave himself an hour to improvise on his alto saxophone. And he said, you know, it was the arrogance of youth that motivated him to think he could do this hour of improvisation successfully. And his story goes that after about 10 minutes, although I heard a recent telling of it where he said 5 minutes, but mostly I've heard 10. And that was he said 10, like in the 80s, closer to the time period that it happened. So I'm thinking that's a more accurate memory. After about 10 minutes, he ran out of ideas, more or less, and just started repeating himself. And he was like, I have 50 more minutes, and all these people I respect are standing here watching me. And I'm not really doing anything particularly interesting right now. I'm just repeating myself and kind of wandering. There's no ideas being built. So he decides to be very honest with himself, face himself, and figure out what to do about it. His solution was to start developing this system via a bunch of research that has kind of gone on for the entirety of his life. This record is the beginning of this system. He sort of developed some of his notation style that he is known for later, very like interesting graphic notation universe he has dove into. And this record is a collection of his first attempts at doing that. The songs are all, unlike the rest of his music, have titles with words. These are all dedicated to people. And I'm going to play one track from that. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my God.
So that's that track. That is a song, Braxton, titled To My Friend Kenny McKenny. Well, a couple thoughts. First thought, I chose that one just because it reminded me of a funny story about people with last names that are also their first names. I went in to buy a couch off Craigslist once. And the woman selling the couch was $25. She said she was, I was a teenager, she said she was Bill Evans' wife. And at the time, I did not know who that was. I was a jazz fan, but I was not familiar with Bill Evans. And she's like, oh yeah, he was like a great, he was really great. And I was like, oh, cool. And we start chatting for a while. I end up not buying the couch because my friend called me while I was talking to her to tell me he had a free one for me. And she says, oh yeah, and you know, our son, Evan, blah, blah, blah. And I stop her, I wait for a pause, and I say, you named him Evan Evans? And she looked at me as though no one had ever pointed that out to her before. And I just say, why? And she says, I don't know. And that was the extent. There was no thoughts. Evan Evans, I looked him up. He does soundtracks for mostly scary movies. That's what she told me. Yeah, and his name's Evan Evans, son of Bill Evans, daughter of, oh man, it was a long time ago. Should have kept in contact. Or bought at Bill Evans' couch. Although she probably purchased it after his passing. She manages his estate, is what she does. She went to Berkeley in the 60s, and she said, I didn't go to class much, mostly protested. That was her story. So about that Braxton track, gonna say, if you were Braxton and you had, felt unproud of your improvisational work before coming up with this system, and this is the result of your first, systematizing of your understanding of your music, how would you feel about that? Knowing where he went later, I think it's easy to be less excited about these first attempts. I think there's some interesting stuff at the end there, kind of like holds out that really breathy high note. That seems difficult. Or rather, I haven't seen too many saxophonists play that, and so I find that interesting. But I guess I'm wondering, you know, he then listened to that and then decided, okay, how does this address what I'm interested in? And I guess that's one of the things I want to look into is, what are you asking when you're asking, is this music to face yourself to? And here I'm using more of an example of he's facing himself. Really, I'd like to get into a music that asks the audience to face themselves. I'll get into that more later, but next I have a track that I think goes after this, instrumentally so. We'll get into the lyrics later. It is from a 10-inch of Weasel, Walter McBarr, and Sam Helmer. This is the B-side. It's a Sam Helmer composition, so says the credits. And there's this middle part. There's a one stop, comes back in, and then another, and then, whew, man, I'm just, yeah, I'll let it speak for itself.
Thank you.
Okay. So, to me, that's real exciting. Because there's, well, one, there's a lot going on, but I'm a particular fan of the multiple logics within one thing. Kind of a, when that, I can only describe it as like a wobbly sound. Kind of like really, depending on how high you have the volume, it really introduces this whole other layer to what was happening before. And then with that kind of a really thuddy smacking that doesn't really have much to do, except for I see it as sort of like pinning down this sort of wave frequency. And so what that sort of like leads me to is the effect of disorienting oneself. Or contorting oneself, as phrased by James Chance. I think that's an important first step, or at least a step, in facing oneself, because how do you face yourself if you're yourself? You know what I mean? There's a few ways to address to answer the question, know what I mean? Or there are various ways to know what I mean. There's sort of the frequency way, which is the more, I don't know, I'm going to say like scientific / objective type of thing of like if, you point two speakers at each other and their sound waves are aligned properly so as to match up, they will cancel each other out because they're the same frequency operating the same space, and they kind of create this numbness, which I think is an interesting phenomenon. Deconstructive interference that has been a useful metaphor to me for a while. So there's that meaning of facing yourself, because you just, there's like certain things you're going to be blind to, blah blah blah. But also, it's just, you know, it's easier to be someone else. That's also part of the point of a radio show, is say things. That's the point. That's why it's called Parhesia Hour. Say things. Don't worry about it too much. Say things you believe to be true, that you're interested in, and hopefully someone's listening and says, you know, there's something he's saying there that I want to correct, and I wish he knew about this, because then this would be a more interesting conversation. I hope that that is the trajectory of this show, is me saying things, people contacting through, I suppose it would be calling or email. There's some logistics to figure out, as this is the first day here, and saying, hey, that thing you're saying, there's more that you should know. The idea here is not for me to be right about anything, but rather to raise questions that I have hopes people out there tuning in to K-Chung have input on. I would love to meet some people who have some... this is really nice. And yeah, I like that a lot. So next track that has a similar effect of sort of, I like to think of it as this initial disorientation and sort of dropping down into a soft, mushy place. I guess sometimes I imagine disorientation in this type of music as a sort of hammering. Like there's a lot of resistance oftentimes to thinking outside of what is comfortable, which is part of why I am focusing on music that, as I put in the show description, treats rubes wrong. Not because I have a desire to exclude anyone. It's rather the opposite. It's just sort of acknowledging that the techniques I'm interested in exploring, I'm aware, can be divisive and harsh. However, I'm interested in rendering them friendly and inviting. I think that, we started off with a Hairy Pussy track, and I think there was, you know, there's a lot to be gained by like heavily interacting with, I'm just going to be lazy and say negative spaces, but there's definitely better words for that, uncomfortable spaces. terrible sounds, as some people might describe them, and I'll get into that a little bit more later. But I've got this next track is Zev, some it's like percussionist, I think, and I should really look this up a little bit. But I'm going to play the track, and then we can talk about it. I'm just going to keep saying we, because I'm going to imagine I'm in a dialogue with people. Eventually, I will be. And this is a track by Zev, recorded the first one. It's actually two tracks that he's lined up. It's a record that has various recordings between the years like 79 and 87. The first track is from 79, the second one from 81. And I think they lead into each other in a way that I already somewhat briefly described. But I will let it do the talking.
Thank you.
Okay, so imagine a person or an identity is like a defensive hull, like a steel hull. That first track, it's like a nail gun, like all these trebly sharp pieces trying to pierce that hull. And I imagine that it pierced it, and say your defensive barrier has never been pierced before. What do you want to find yourself in next? I'm thinking this sound. It's a warm, mushy soup. Perhaps a hot tub with jets spinning. And I'm a big fan of this technique. If you're going to assault what a person knows, what a thing knows about itself, I think you should be aware that you're asking it to do a difficult thing. It's sort of a violent procedure you're engaging in, and the idea is not to hurt the person, I hope. That's at least, I'm gonna put that down as a tenet of my philosophy approach. I like using different words for the same thing until you find the word that really means most what you mean. And I think this is a really nice thing to land in. And there are a number of examples I will continue to find, or rather I have found over the years and will bring in, that sort of use this. You know, do something very, challenging is kind of a loaded word and very, you know, subjective, but, and leave it in a thing that perhaps is, you know, it's still this. Still this person doing their, you know, it's like an experimental percussionist. However, I think it's a lot softer place to find oneself confused in this thing that doesn't demand that you make sense of it immediately. It lets you sit and ponder for a while. So I think after having a nail gun rain atop your skull, this is a nice place to find yourself. And I'm interested in that process. I hope you're interested in that process. If you're not, maybe you know someone who is, and we can process this process jointly. I want to, because we're near the end of the show, for this hour until 2 weeks from now, April 8th. In the meantime, I'll try to maybe engage with the Tumblr and social media things. I want to play a band from Oakland, Stillsuit, that I think really nails a lot of things I think are most exciting in music. And I think it achieves disorientation. It's sort of a challenge. I didn't even get into that. Sort of facing yourself versus like seeing something that's really elevated and being like, damn, am I there? Kind of whatnot. Here we go. This is the song Military off of Stillsuit's LP. That was Still Suit from Oakland, the song Military. That really grating, rising guitar part. Big fan of that. And that is going to do it for this first installment of Parhesia Hour. Please, yeah, check out the Tumblr, because I really do think I'll try to be collecting ideas and sort of solidifying a thrust of this trajectory. Yeah, having fun putting together words. Okay, thanks for listening. This is K-Chung, 1630 AM. And I'm gonna let this play out until the next program.